Connie Mack and went to athletics and finished off.
And one of them went to Washington just for a short while, and
really?
Then they both went with Connie Mack,
yeah,
I think
it was Speaker bit. Then must have been in Washington.
Yeah.
But they both played pretty regularly for Connie in 28, and remarkable,
yeah,
the way they hit.
Yeah.
320 or something when they were in their 40s. They were real hitters, there's no doubt about that. What about Bucky Harris as a manager?
Oh, he's a good manager.
That's what I thought.
Bucky's a good manager. Like I say, he depended on you out there, and he didn't have any relief pitching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had no relief pitching with Detroit, whatever.
How were some of those guys? Gehringer.
Gehringer's a real good ball player.
And
a good hitter.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
And Harry Heilman.
Oh, wonderful hitter.
Couldn't he slug that ball?
Yes, he could. He was a great hitter. Powerful hitter.
Yeah. I was going to talk yesterday or the day, I guess the day before, with Billy Rogel in Detroit. But he didn't know exactly when I was coming through, and he had gone off to Canada for a few days.
Oh.
So I missed him. But he was on that team when you were.
Yeah.
In 1930. People say that Tommy Bridges had the biggest breaking curveball in the American League. You think that's right?
He had a real good curve. His curve didn't break any more than mine did when I was in my prime.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a marvelous overhead curveball.
Yeah. And Whit Wyatt was there, but I think he must have been young in those years.
Yeah. He was a young fella and could throw real hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no breaking ball, and he come up with enough of a slider or something like that, along with a good fastball, that he became a winner when he went over to Brooklyn.
Sure did.
Yeah.
And you had another great old pitcher who was kind of on the downgrade by the time 1930, Wade Hoyt.
Yeah, Wade was really on the downgrade, and he didn't like playing for the Detroit Ball Club at all because they weren't scoring any runs, and and he wanted off of it right after he got on it.
Oh, boy. Vic Sorrell.
Vic Sorrell was a pretty good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all. He had a pretty good fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, had a pretty good fastball.
And here's a good old-timer, Earl Whitehill.
Oh, Earl was a good pitcher. He had a good curveball.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah, very good curveball, and was a good pitcher.
All right, now...
He was a fighter.
He
was a battler. He'd battle every minute out there.
Yeah. Was either Goslin or Manush in the Detroit outfield in your years there?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, Manush was with St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And Goslin was over with
Washington, I think.
Yeah. I pitched against Goose, and he hit a home run off of me. I think I had thrown 100 different change ups and slow curves and things like that, and I threw him one fastball.
And he laid it.
And if he didn't park it.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I said, "Well, that dumb son of a gun, he'll never see another fastball."
Do you remember your 200th win in 1934?
No, I don't.
No?
I never had an idea.
Didn't realize it was the 200th?
No.
I'll be darned. Think of that.
Because if I'd have known it, I would have grabbed the ball for one
thing. Sure. Yeah, that was when you were with the Yanks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, after 36, when you came back for a little while with the Indians,
Well, I went in on the list. Steve O'Neill was manager, and we were short of help out in the bullpen and all that. And mm-hmm. My arm and pitching batting practice, I felt pretty good. So I said to Steve, I said, I can help out a little bit, Steve. If you want to put me on the list, I can pitch to a man or two now and then for you. And so he did, and used me pinch hitting. And I had good luck pinch hitting for
him. You sure did. I see that. 8 for 21 batting. Now, after that season, what'd you do? Did you stay on as a coach?
Then I stayed on as a coach the next year with Cleveland. Then Steve was let out and managed Buffalo, mm-hmm. and I went over with coaching with Buffalo, mm-hmm. with Steve. And when we got in the playoffs, I went on the list right before the end of the season to help him out. And in the playoffs, saved two games for him.
Right.
Pitched the one or two men with the bases full in the ninth inning, two games in a row against Syracuse, and saved them both for Steve.
Oh, wonderful. Those are good memories, too.
Yeah.
And so then how long did you stay connected with baseball in one way or another?
Well, then I went over with coached with Chicago in 1940.
The White Sox? Or the Cubs?
National
Cubs.
League.
Uh-huh.
The former umpire was kind of a chief assistant with Wrigley. What was his name?
Who was that?
He recommended me, wanted me over there to work with their pitchers and that. And Gabby and I got along real good, and I was going to be with him the next year.
Uh-huh.
But Gabby made some remarks around the fire department that there wouldn't be many of those ballplayers he was going to get rid of. A heck of a lot of them, I guess. And they heard it, and they wrote to Wrigley and said that they didn't want to play for Hartnett anymore. And even though he had told Hartnett that you're the manager next year, and he told me, he said, you fellows are with me next year again.
Uh-huh.
Why? By the time I got home and the World Series was over, they signed the catcher that went real good in the National League as manager. But the ball players really got Gabby fired for Gabby popping off, around some fire houses or something like that. There's quite a few of the ball players that he wouldn't have with him next year.
Oh, boy. You might think that, but you shouldn't say it.
No, you shouldn't say it. That's right.
So, you finished with baseball at that time, or did you?
No, in 41 and 42, I went with Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
working with their young pitchers and scouting.
Robbie was still the manager? Wilbert Robinson?
No.
He was gone before then.
What's his name?
He would have
What's his name was manager? Charlie Dressen was a coach.
Oh, yeah. Dressen.
And I hate to say what I think of him. the former shortstop.
DeRocher. DeRocher.
Lives out to the coast.
Leo.
He's a PI.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody that's been around Leo very long comes to that conclusion.
Not only that, I hope it don't go on the tape.
Well, I won't use it if it does. Go ahead.
He was kicked off of the Yankees for stealing.
For goodness sakes.
Going through Ruth and some of the pockets.
You're kidding.
He was sent back up to the American Association.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
He was a fat-headed PI, guy that a know-it-all, a full of bull, and that's how he got his jobs with my bull and
the owners and general managers.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't been around as the Cub manager in 69, I think they would have won that pennant. I blame the loss of that one on Leo when the Cubs folded, you know, and the Mets came from nowhere and snatched it away from them in 69.
Yeah.
Leo had the team so tied up in knots with nervousness that they couldn't play ball, I think.
They, at the a friend of mine that gave me those balls there,
mm-hmm.
he died just recently, and how he hated Leo's guts. He says that when Mays, the outfielder,
Willie,
was put in the Hall of Fame, that He sat right with him all the time, and all he did was get popping off about the greatest ball player that ever walked in two shoes, including Babe Ruth and all of the rest of them. Mays was the greatest.
Yeah.
And and I want to tell you, there never was any better ball player than Babe Ruth.
I don't know how it could be much better. Yeah.
Babe Ruth could throw. He never threw to the wrong base.
Yep.
And he could run the bases good.
He did.
He never tried to steal any bases. He
didn't need too much.
He was trotting around the ball most of the time. But I recall an incident where Speaker balled one of our fellas out for being thrown out at home plate on the ground single by somebody to an outfielder, and he was thrown out at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
And Speaker bawled him out, says that you have no business being thrown out on a ground ball going through the infield. Mm-hmm. And about 2 weeks later, we played the Yankees, and Speaker tried to score on a ground ball that was hit over first base in Cleveland in the Old League Park, which wasn't too deep, you know.
Yeah.
But the ball was hit on the ground down the first base line, and Babe Ruth picked it up, and he threw Speaker out from here to the wall.
Gee
whiz. Speaker didn't even have a slide coming.
His face must have been red.
He threw a line drive into home plate.
Yeah.
On the first half that the catcher had it waiting for Speaker. Speaker never said a word after that when anybody got thrown out at home plate.
How could he? Yeah. You never really saw Babe pitch, I guess, unless just in kind of fun. He pitched once in a while. He pitched the last game of the season.
He never did pitch it against us.
Yeah.
It was always against one of the Eastern teams that they'd finish against.
Yeah, that's right.
But he must have been a real good pitcher.
He had to be.
He had to be.
He really had to be.
Because, don't tell, when you'd see him throw to those bases, he'd never throw to the wrong base, and he threw bullets.
Yeah.
He threw bullets. I class his arm as an outfielder with Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Joe DiMaggio, yeah.
How about Ty Cobb? He may have had his greatest years before you saw him, but he still had a lot left.
Yeah, they were all hitting and running.
Yeah.
He couldn't play the outfield with the Speaker. He
couldn't
carry his glove, and he couldn't throw.
I'm sure of that, compared to the good ones, yeah.
He throws like our outfielders today, rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
Throw rainbows into the infield. But he was a corker on the bases, I'll tell you.
Oh, my. Must have been. All right.
He knew how to slide, and he knew how to, as you were tagging him, he knew how to kick the ball out of your hand.
Mm-hmm. All the tricks, he knew them. Maybe he invented some of them. Could you tell me who was the best first baseman you ever saw?
Well, I didn't see him too long, but George Sisler was one of the best first basemen.
In every way.
And he was a great hitter.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm thinking of the overall fielding and hitting and even running, and I don't see how anybody in your time could have been better than George.
No, Gehrig was a great hitter.
Yes.
A very good hitter.
And it
was funny, he was a protective hitter up there. He, when I pitched against him, he hit me way better than Ruth did, but he never got a home run, never got a two-base hit off me until my last year in Detroit also.
Mm-hmm.
When he just slapped the curveball, a fast curveball I threw, and slapped it over the left field fence, just poking at it. But he would just guard home plate and just slap at the ball and throw it through around second base.
Mm-hmm.
But a smart hitter.
Yeah.
He was a very smart hitter.
How about second baseman? Who was the best?
Well, I got to say one thing. Little Lamy was a very good second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was great on that double play, jumping up and while the guy was sliding under him and throw while he was in the air. But he couldn't hit with Tony Lazzari or
Gehringer.
Or Charlie Gehringer.
Yeah. And how about shortstop?
Well, you'd have to go with a fellow that became manager. Joe Sewell as to hitting, but that fellow that was with Washington that became president of the league also.
Cronin.
Yeah.
Joe Cronin.
Joe Cronin was a marvelous shortstop.
Yeah, he was, and a good hitter.
You're talking back in my day now, before Boudreau.
Yeah, that's right.
And a marvelous hitter also.
That's
Joe
right.
Joe Cronin was.
Yeah.
And Joe Sewell was the marvelous hitter, and he could do everything else. He didn't have the speed that Cronin or the range, but he was
a fine
very pitcher. Consistent.
Yeah. How about third base?
Who?
Third base.
Well, there's some good ones.
Yeah.
Third base.
Who did you have in your day? Was Keltner?
Keltner was just after my day, see.
Larry Gardner?
Larry Gardner was a...
Pretty good,
He was a very good third baseman, a good hitter.
Uh-huh.
A corking hitter with men on base.
Yeah,
a great hitter
counts.
With men on base. But there was Jimmy Dykes, a good infielder.
Yeah. Red Roth?
Red Roth or... Well, I think Jimmy Dykes was better than he was.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Doesn't seem like we've got as many good third base standouts in those times as...
Keltner after my time, too, you know.
Yeah.
Keltner was a great one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who would be the three best outfielders as fielders and hitters?
Including hitting?
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to take Ruth.
To start off with, yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to take Speaker, that's for sure.
I would think so.
And the other one for left field, it'd be a toss-up with me, with Charlie Jamison.
Uh-huh.
Charlie was a corking. He was a very accurate arm, too, but he wasn't quite as strong an arm as those other fellows.
Yeah.
But he could go and get that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask you all the time, where are you going to pitch to this fellow, that fellow that hit around out that direction, you know?
Yeah. And that's... the mark of a real fielder.
Yeah.
What about the catcher?
Well, I would say Steve O'Neill and Luke Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
In my book.